Okay, so our topic for today, Apostolic Prayers, Part 2, it's obviously a continuation of what we talked about last week. As you know, we are in a series on prayer. Prayer is for God's glory. It's not primarily about us. It's not primarily about us getting what we want. But the first and the biggest purpose of prayer is really to bring glory to God. Biblical prayer is about hearing what God wants us to pray about, hearing what God wants and wants to happen in this life, on this earth, and then praying whatever God's will is. As our prayer pastor in Shanghai put it, prayer is telling God what he tells us to tell him. Now, last Sunday, we talked about apostolic prayers. Prayers recorded in the Bible, and because they are recorded in the Bible, we know that they are God's will. So we can use these prayers, we can pray them over ourselves, we can pray them over each other. And so we know that we are praying God's will, and we know that God will answer our prayers. Why? Because we know that since they are recorded in God's word, that they are his will. And today, we want to do part 2 of the same sermon. Again, like last week, a shorter sermon, and then some time for reflection and prayer in the end. So, similar to what we did last week, hear the theory first, then hear what God wants to say to us personally. And then we can respond in prayer and respond in whatever way, whatever way God is speaking to us. Now, last week, we looked at these four verses. We looked at these four prayers. Ephesians 1, 17 to 19, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of the mighty power. We looked at Romans 15, 5 and 6. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded and towards one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and with one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We looked at Ephesians 3, that he would grant you according to the riches of the glory, to be strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the height and the length and the depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. And then the last one we looked at last week was Philippians 1. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ also which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. So these are the prayers that we looked at last week. Today, we will look at some more of these prayers We will, like last week, look at them, give you a brief overview over these verses, and then we'll see what God wants to say to us personally. Of course, we will have a personal reflection time as well, like last week, where we will just see what God wants to say to us personally. So you will not just hear from me, but we'll give everyone a chance to hear from God personally. All right. So with that being said, here's the first prayer for today. Prayer for the knowledge of His will. Colossians 1, 9-11. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to the glorious power, unto all the patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. So, what is Paul praying for here? Well, first of all, I do not cease to pray for you. God wants us to continually pray for each other. Pray for Christians we know, pray for Christians in this community, Christians we have a relationship with, but also pray for Christians we have no personal relationship with. We ought to pray for the body of Christ, whether we know people personally or not. And what does he want us to pray for? Be filled with the knowledge of his will. That we will all know God's will. Let's be honest. Often we're guessing. Often we're just like, okay, I think this is God's will. Or, yeah, I saw a sign, I saw a bird or something like that. And then I interpret that sign as this is God's will. But this is not really what God wants from us. What he wants from us is that we do know God's will. And not just guessing, not just interpreting, not just hoping that this is God's will, but he wants us to know that what God's will is, and he wants us to know that what we are doing, what we are pursuing, is truly God's will. Not assuming, not guessing, not I'm pretty sure this is God's will, but we know God's will. We don't assume or guess. We simply know. And this is something we can pray for ourselves and for each other as well. In all wisdom and spiritual understanding. It's not about being smart enough. It's not about human wisdom. But it's about having God's wisdom and God's understanding. That God will supernaturally grant us the knowledge of his will. And then, what's our lifestyle? That you might walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, and unto the patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. So what is the result? We walk worthy of the Lord. We fully please him. We are fruitful in every good work. We don't just have a fruitful part on Saturday or Sunday or whatever, and then the rest of the week we're kind of not so fruitful. No, we are fruitful in everything that we do. And then it says, we increase in the knowledge of God. We don't stay the same over 1 month, 3 months, 6 months, over a year, but we grow in our faith. We grow in our relationship with God all the time. But of course, it's not in our own power, it's not in our own performance, it's not in our own achievements, but in God's. And so what can we learn from this prayer? We should pray that God will work in us, that He will do His work in us, and He will do it for His glory. Not primarily so that we have a good life and we have a happily ever after. Nothing wrong if He does that, if He gives that to us. But our aim should be that we can bring glory to God and grow in our relationship with God each day so that we will be fruitful for His glory. So that's the first prayer for today. Next prayer, for unity and for hope. Romans 15, there are two passages there. First, verses 5 to 6. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then a few verses later in verse 13, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. What do we do most in today's world, in today's society? I would argue we need hope. With all the stuff that is going on, all the sicknesses, all the personal issues, all the worldwide issues, what we need is hope. Everything seems so hopeless. Everything seems so much like, what can I do? I cannot solve the problems. It's all beyond me. It's bigger than me. That's what the world is trying to tell us. And so this prayer is a prayer of hope. A prayer of hope that this world cannot give us, that the circumstances cannot give us. Let's break it down. Now the God of patience and consolation, that we know who God is, that God is the God of patience. The God is the God of consolation. And when we know that, then of course we will pray differently. Why? Because when we know who God is and His character and His purpose, then we will pray differently than if we just think, like, okay, God is there, but I don't really know Him. I don't know His character. I don't know what He's up to. Then of course we will fail. So, know who God is, that God is the God of patience and consolation. To be like-minded one towards another according to Christ Jesus. We will be united. We will be united in Jesus. And that, of course, is something that God wants to give us. When we look at the bigger picture of the New Testament, we see how important unity is to Jesus. So we can pray that we will achieve that kind of unity in God. Now, let's be clear. unity, not uniformity. Not that we are all exactly the same, that we look alike, that we talk alike, that we are just, uniform. No. God doesn't want us to be uniform, but he wants us to be in unity. We all have a common goal. We have common vision that unites us. We all do different things, but as we do different things, we can come together in unity because God unites us for a higher purpose. And then it says that you may with one mind and with one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In our unity, we bring glory to God. Each of us receives our own personal calling from God. And when we put it all together, we see how God has a bigger plan, how God has a bigger purpose, how God brings each and every one of us with our unique calling, with our unique gifting, with the unique plan that he has for each and every one of us, how he brings us together so that we are united in God's purpose, in God's plan. And then in verse 13, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. God gives us joy. God gives us peace. God gives us hope. And this is a prayer for us and for each other. That we have love and compassion for each other. That we glorify God together as one body. And that God will give us hope, joy, and peace. So, once again, God wants us to bring glory to him in unity, being united according to his plans. Next prayer, being enriched. 1 Corinthians 1, 5-8. That in everything you are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. So that you come, behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, it says that in everything you are enriched by him. In everything that we do, we would be enriched. We would pray, we would worship, we would get together in Jesus' name. We would be enriched in everything. We would it would be beneficial to us, but also to other people. Not so that we have a happy life, but so that God's name would be glorified. So, step one here, that we would pray, that we would worship, that we would get together in prayer for the glory of his name. Then it says, in all utterance and in all knowledge. We would speak what brings glory to God. We would speak what pleases God. And we would do that in knowledge. We would bring glory to God with our knowledge. And our knowledge unites us. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in us. What unites us as a diverse group as ours? Here we see it. The testimony of Christ confirmed in us. That's what brings us unity. For us, of course, for our outreach, that's a little bit different. But for us as a church, that should be what unites us and what brings us together in the midst of our differences, in the midst of our cultural differences, in the midst of all the differences that we have. When we say, yes, the testimony of Christ is what unites us, then all these differences disappear, and we should be united around this. Then it says, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's our destination. That's our hope. And that's what we are living for. And that's how a diverse group like ours, who speaks different languages, has different cultural backgrounds and everything, that's how we can be united. When we come together and we bring glory to God as one body. The coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. If we know and understand how great his coming will be, that's what unites us in the midst of our differences. The next prayer is to increase and abound in love. 1 Thessalonians 3, night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now God himself, even our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, direct our way unto you. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one towards another and towards all men, even as we do towards you. To the end, he may establish your hearts unblemable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. So what is he praying for here? Night and day, praying exceedingly. Paul is passionate about his prayer. He surrendered a lot, spending a lot of time and energy in this prayer. And that's what our attitude should be as well, to say this prayer is so important that I'm willing to surrender. I'm willing to give up other things so that I can truly pray this prayer. That we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Genuine care for each other, genuine love for each other, genuine affection for each other. And one goal, help each other grow in their faith. That we don't have ulterior motives, that we have no mixed motives, but we have pure motives in saying, I want you to grow in your faith. And I'm focusing on that, and I'm praying for that. And I want you to grow in your faith. And I will pray that you will grow in your faith. And we focus on that. And of course, what does Paul truly want? It's all for the glory of God. He doesn't want a great name for himself. He doesn't want to be famous. He doesn't want to get the credit. But it's all for the glory of God. And then he says, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one towards another and towards all men. Genuine love, godly love for one another. Not mixed together with selfish motives, with other things. Instead, what he wants us to have is genuine love for each other. Selfless love, pure love, love that is not self-seeking, but seeks the glory of God. And then he's closing his prayer by saying, to the end, he may establish your hearts unblemable in holiness before God. That's the ultimate goal. That we will be unblemable in holiness before God. And then the last prayer for today. God fulfills his pleasure and purpose. 2 Thessalonians 1. Therefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. God would count you worthy of his calling. There's a great deal of humility in this prayer because we can't earn anything. We don't deserve anything. It's only by his grace. It's only by his mercy. And we would be willing to say and to truly pray to say, God, it's only by your mercy. I have nothing for myself. I have not earned anything. I don't deserve anything, but I need you. And then fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness. It's only by God's grace. We don't deserve anything. It's only by his pleasure, it's only for his glory that we would receive anything from him. That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified. That's our destiny. That's what God created us for his glory. And we need to remember that, because so often we think my life is about me, my life is about my glory, my life is about my happiness and all those things. No, we need to remember it's all for God's glory. And that's why we're here. And that's why God created you and me. And you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not that there is nothing in there for us. We need to do our part. We need to surrender. We need to put God first. And then we can receive God's gifts. God is glorified in us. We are glorified in God. As God is lifted up in our lives, we are lifted up with him, according to God's grace. Not our performance, not us being good enough, but it's really according to God's grace. So far, the theory. We see these prayers in the Bible. We can pray along. We can use these prayers. But we can pray. But how or who can we pray these prayers over? Who are they for? Well, first of all, ourselves. Praying that God would fulfill these plans in us. Praying that whatever we are praying for in this prayer would be fulfilled in us. And so there's nothing wrong in taking these prayers and making them our own and saying, God, fulfill this in me. Secondly, of course, people we know, family, relatives, neighbors, people we know from church. And we are praying that God would fulfill these prayers in the people we know personally. Thirdly, groups, societies, and nations. For me as a German, I can easily pray that these prayers will be fulfilled within the German community, within the German society. Now, this is not the same for all of us. Maybe for you, God put a different people group on your heart, but God wants you to pray these prayers for your nation and for the people that you can relate to due to your nationality. So, nationalities, people groups, whoever God puts on our hearts, we can pray for that particular people group. And then fourthly, anybody God puts on our hearts. Maybe God puts a specific person or a specific people group on our hearts, and he is saying, I want you to pray for this group of people. And if that's our calling, then let's respond to that, and then let's truly pray over these people. So, first of all, God puts someone on our hearts that he wants us to pray for. Next, apply these prayers. They are not magic words. We don't have to pray these prayers word by word. It's not about repeating magic words. It's about praying God's heart. And so we should understand the meaning of these prayers, understand why God recorded these prayers in the Bible, understand God's heart behind these prayers, pray God's heart back to him, and then repeat until God answers our prayers. This is not about religion. It's about a relationship. And so we don't have to respond to these prayers and be like, okay, so these are the exact words that God wants me to pray. Nothing wrong with that. But we can grow beyond that by saying, God, how do you want me to apply these prayers when I pray for my family? How do you want me to apply these prayers when I pray for my classmates? How do you want me to apply these prayers when I pray for my family, for my relatives, and then see how God leads us? And then pray until it actually happens. Of course, this applies to any kind of prayer, not just about apostolic prayers, but any kind of prayer from the Bible. But I have prayed this kind of prayer and have not really seen an answer. And sometimes then I realized, okay, I think this was not God's will for me to pray for this people group, because it was just my own wisdom. So, be in a communication with God. Hear from God. Hear what He's saying to us when we pray. And then say, God, do you want me to continue praying? God, am I on the right track here? God, am I on the wrong track here? And then if He gives us the heart to continue praying, we'll continue. If He tells us to stop, we'll stop. But we will see the prayers being answered if we know that we are praying God's will. So in conclusion, these prayers are not someone else's prayer. When we read Paul's prayers or any kind of prayers in the Bible, we are tempted to think, okay, this was Paul. He likes those people. He loves those prayers. He loves those people. And so he just prays for those people, but it has nothing to do with me. That's not true. Instead, these prayers that are recorded in the Bible, we should make them our prayers. We should take these prayers, apply them to our own lives, apply them to our own situation, understand why these prayers are recorded in the Bible, understand God's heart behind these prayers, and then to say, yeah, these prayers might be 2,000 years old. Yeah, these prayers, in the original context, they might have been a different context. They might have been a different situation. But I'll make them my own prayer. Because they are recorded in God's word. I know they are God's will. And so I'm going to take them and make them my own. Of course, it's always good to ask God questions like, why did you record these prayers in the Bible? What's your heart behind these prayers? And really go to the bottom of things. But once we work through all of that, we can say, God, now I'm making them my own. They are not prayers of Paul from 2,000 years ago. They are my prayers in 2025 for this particular people group, for this particular family, for this particular situation. God, you will speak to me. And as long as you tell me to pray this prayer for this person or for this family, I'm going to continue and I'm going to use this prayer for your glory. These are not someone else's prayer. We can make them our own. Personalize these prayers, knowing that God will answer these prayers because they are recorded in His Word. So let's ask God these prayers, whether they are the prayers that I introduced this week or whether I introduced them last week, that's not the point. But let's ask God and ask Him, God, how do you want me to apply these prayers? How do they apply to my marriage? How do they apply to my family? How do they apply to the people I know? How do you want me to take these prayers and use them for your glory? And then He will speak to us. And then we respond in prayer. And then we know that God will use these prayers for His glory. So let's spend some time listening to Him and spend some time praying back His word to Him. Father, thank you for these apostolic prayers. Thank you for your presence. And thank you, Lord, for speaking to us through these prayers. Lord, we pray that you will help us today to not just see them as someone else's prayer, but help us, Lord, to really make them our own personal prayers. Help us, Lord, to grow in our faith by praying these prayers by faith, knowing that you will respond and that you will speak to and through us into people's lives. So give us wisdom how to apply these prayers, and give us wisdom, Lord, how to honor you in praying these prayers over ourselves, our families, and praying these prayers over other people. So, Lord, we love you. Use us for your glory, knowing that you will answer them in your perfect time. So thank you, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to spend some time reflecting.